Hey buds, Kathleen here. Just want to give you a heads up that my microphone went on strike in section one, and it sounds like I'm floating far away in the ocean, or maybe like a tiny little person hanging out in a can of soup. And actually, that visual might make for a better episode. Maybe it's tomato soup, maybe it's chicken, maybe it's minestrone. It's probably soup. Here's the show.
Stop laughing, this is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello and welcome to an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen Heaney. You're thinking about tackling paper mache again. I cannot stop watching the show New Amsterdam. It is going to be absolutely freezing in New Jersey this weekend, and I am looking forward to it, friend.
And I'm Bethany Watson, your sniffling, COVID-having. I watched the horror movie Saint Maud over the weekend, and I can't stop thinking about it, friend.
And every week, Bethany and I get together to talk about our lives, topics we're curious about, and what's weird in the world. And we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about
doppelgangers.
Oh.
We're talking about people who look like you in real life.
Okay.
We're talking about the science behind doppelgangers. And we are talking about the scary doppelgangers that you hear about in stories and on Reddit.
You know what? It's so strange that you're talking about this today, Bethany, because I had dinner last night with a Henry Winkler doppelganger.
What?
And
you had dinner with a woman last night.
No, and there was a handful of people there.
Oh, okay.
And I said to this man, I said, has anybody ever told you that you look like Henry Winkler? And he looked at me and he said, no, never. And I'm like, how is that possible? You're shooing for a twin of him, or I don't know, maybe a first cousin whose fathers are identical twins or something like that. And he said to me, well, I don't know if that's a compliment.
Oh, no, that's the worst, is when someone tells you you look like someone and you think that person's ugly. Yeah, it's interesting. So I'm talking about this for a couple of reasons. One, a few weeks ago, a taste bud posted a picture of this woman in an ad for the New Jersey Transit like observe and report campaign. And it's a worried looking white lady talking on the phone. And she looks so much like me.
Yeah, she does. She looks exactly like you, Bethany.
It's crazy. And then I was watching one of my stories the other night, Midsummer Murders.
Yeah.
And there is an actor on the show who is just like a guest, you know, because they have new people every week. And he played victim and monstrous patriarch and murderer victim Cy Davenport. And he looked just like Dennis's dad. Like, and you know, if you think someone looks like someone else and the person really close to them is like, that doesn't look like them at all.
Yeah.
Dennis was like, oh my God, that's my dad right there. So I want to talk about this.
Who's that woman who got famous on American Idol? Susan Boyle, the old English woman.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Someone stopped my mom in ShopRite once and was like, you look exactly like Susan Boyle. And my mom came home. She was so upset.
Oh.
It was an unfortunate haircut that she had for a period of time.
That'll do it. And I'm also going to talk about like why we see people as doppelgangers, even though other people may not think they look like each other.
What are the two doppelgangers that people say you look most like, your top two?
I used to get Portia de Rossi a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't as much anymore. I get Kaley Cuoco, speaking of Big Bang Theory.
Oh.
Less now that I've gotten bangs.
Gotcha. I see Portia de Rossi. I don't see Kaley Cuoco.
My therapist said that she was watching The Flight Attendant and she was like, she reminds me of so much of you. She's real sexy. And I was like, this is a weird thing for a therapist to say.
You know, when the taste bud posted that photo of, what is it? Is it like when you see something, say something poster?
Yeah, it's a New Jersey Transit poster for Observe and Report.
Observe and Report. And there's a blonde lady standing on a transit platform. And when you said it wasn't you, we'll post the picture on our Instagram. When you said it wasn't you, I was like, straight up, Bethany is lying. And for whatever reason, she doesn't want anybody to know that she did this photo shoot.
I know, it's crazy. And the funny thing is, too, the woman looks stressed.
Yes, she does.
Probably because she's observing something that she's trying to report.
I know.
And I also look stressed whenever I'm on the phone.
Maybe that's why you guys look so much alike. You're both just like stressed blonde ladies.
So last night I was really trying to find this woman because... Like I was trying to find out whatever ad company worked with New Jersey Transit to come out with this campaign of observe and report.
Yeah.
I could not find anything. I was doing like reverse Google image searches. I was searching on Instagram to see if maybe the actress had tagged herself or had used like the hashtag to post that she was in this campaign. Yeah. Nothing. I want to find her. I want to see if we truly look like each other.
Yeah. Because, you know, one photo is one photo.
Yeah.
But you need to see subsequent photos to really make an educated decision on whether or not you're doppelgangers of each other.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I'm so curious.
Maybe it's a stock photo. We should search the stock photo websites, you know.
Oh, I didn't. You know what? I didn't even think about that. You're right.
Worried white lady on the phone.
Worried white lady. She's observing and reporting. She's doing her civic duty.
Remember when there was that thing, that app that was popular where people were putting in their pictures and then finding their Victorian portrait twin.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I just kept getting like white women with pointy noses and chins who are also holding cats. And it was just so spot on. And I didn't want to accept my reality.
I kept getting boys. Like I kept getting like, because I think that I have a fairly round face. And I think that so do young boys in, like, I guess these old Victorian portraits. The older you get, the more angular your face gets, maybe. And so it was just like, you look like this tiny Dickensian street urchin.
I'm just thinking of a tiny little Dutch boy with blunt bangs, and then they're like, this is your doppelganger.
It's about what it was.
That's like a couple of, I think like last year on the podcast, I realized that I was putting on my eyebrow pencil too high.
Yeah.
To everybody who was taller than me, I just looked perpetually surprised. but I couldn't see like where the pencil was at my eye level, but someone took a picture of me from above once and I was like, oh no, that has to change.
Ugh. Speaking of faces, so I saw this woman. There's this woman who lives in our neighborhood and I saw her driving. She's stunning. Like, it's beautiful. So you know how most people have like your eyes, your nose, and your mouth, and like your cheeks sort of sit on a lightly curved plane.
Yeah.
Her nose is like the most forward part of her face.
Huh.
And then instead of a gentle kind of curve where your face sits,
yeah,
like a curve towards your ear and a curve towards your other ear, her face kind of goes backwards at a fairly sharp angle.
Oh.
So it's almost like her eyes are a little bit more on the side of her head than you would think, only because her face is like closer to the side of her head than you would think. Does this make sense?
It's people like your neighbor who, if they have a tall gene in their family,
yeah,
they grow up being teased that they're strange looking and then they end up being supermodels.
Yeah. Supermodels. Yeah. Like this neighbor of mine is stunning. And her face is, it's like her face is super weird and she's beautiful because of it. It's like, you know, Anya Taylor-Joy's eyes are like five fingers apart.
Yes.
But it's beautiful.
That's right. She's stunning.
Oh, yeah. She's awesome.
I love her. She's a great actress. I really miss, I haven't seen a good drama in a long time like The Queen's Gambit. I wish that somebody would release something soon. I need something like really intense to really dig my TV fingers into.
Yeah. I think I need to start subscribing to streaming services
because
I hear about all these shows that are coming out and I'm like, I haven't seen a single one of those, but I'm going to keep watching Midsummer Murders on Acorn because that's where I get my British and Canadian TV.
For the sake of this podcast, so we can discuss television shows that were made in this century, Bethany, I'm just going to send you a list of all of my streaming services.
Thank you.
But it's not going to last very long because all the streaming services are getting wise to people sharing their passwords.
Yeah.
And I keep telling my mother and my brother that they better be nice to me or I'm cutting them off cold turkey when Netflix starts charging me more for them using my services.
Yeah. And guess what? The best way to keep families together is threats.
Mm-hmm. That's how we do it in the Heaney family.
Kathleen, you have to read the email that we got from a gentle listener regarding our beloved Rothy's.
I know. You know, Rothy's Shoes, and they've got other things too, has been a partner of this podcast for a long time.
Yeah.
And it is a product that I have used my own hard-earned money to purchase time and time again. I've purchased Rothy's as presents. And this email that we got from a taste bud is a true testament to how wonderful the footwear from Rothy's are.
Yeah.
So this is from Jen. The email reads, I hope you ladies are having a great week. Thanks, Jen.
Thanks, we are.
I just wanted to send an email saying thank you for turning me on to Rothy's. I always hear the advertisements on various podcasts that I listen to and don't put much thought into the products that they're talking about. But after hearing you ladies talk about Rothy's so much, I decided to give them a try.
We wore her down.
And I ordered two flats for work last year, and I am hooked. I just ordered my third pair of Rothy's, the slip-ons, and I cannot wait for them to arrive. I probably never would have tried or discovered Rothy's if it weren't for your podcast. So thank you.
You are so welcome, gentle listener. Kathleen, how many pairs of Rothy's do you own?
I think I'm up to five pairs at this point.
Look, I have their loafers in this beautiful color mocha, which is like more of a gray than you would think.
Yeah.
And because of that, it matches so much. And yes, these are the shoes that are made out of recycled water bottles. Because of that, you can throw them in the wash. You wash them on cold, you let them air dry, and now you have clean, new looking shoes. I've never found a shoe that I can do that with.
I really need to post the before and after of my sand-colored Rothy's slip-ons, where I let my niece draw on my feet. We were like at a softball game or something with chalk, and then I put my sneakers in the wash and they came out looking like new, but my sister-in-law was like, don't let her do that. I was like, no worries. It's Rothy's.
They're washable. There's so many options for new wardrobe staples and you can feel good about wearing them. They have flats, loafers, sneakers, dozens of colors and prints. And every time we go on their website, they've launched a new print or a new color. If you're like me and you love black, they have plenty of black. If you're like Kathleen and you love couleur, they have so many colors that even I, the dark one, am like, ooh, but that's a beautiful red, I got to admit.
They just came out with new arrivals for spring of 2023, and they've got baby blue. They've got like a seafoam green. They have lavender, Bethany, and they have these amazing, really large, lightweight tote bags.
Yes.
And one of my pet peeves in life is when my tote bags get dirty and then I wash them and they come out looking like shriveled up or not like the original tote bag.
Yeah.
And since I've washed my Rothy's sneakers, I know that that won't happen with their tote bags. Oh my God, breaking news.
What?
Bethany, they just made the original slip-on sneaker in a chartreuse checker.
Oh, Kathleen, chartreuse is your weakness. You have two chartreuse sweaters.
It's called Electric Check. Oh, I'm panicking right now. I have to buy this.
I mean, look, you have to do what you have to do.
Yeah, you're right.
So for stylish and comfortable shoes and chartreuse, shop Rothy's. Get $20 off your first purchase at rothys.com/taste.
That's rothys.com/taste.
Kathleen, have you ever run into your doppelganger or seen your doppelganger on TV or just had people say there is someone who lives in this town who looks just like you?
I have one of those faces that people are like, I have a friend that looks just like you, or oh my God, you know who you look like? And it happens to me all the time, Bethany.
Really?
Yeah. There's a woman on MSNBC on the weekends. Her name is Alex Witt. A-L-E-X-W-I-T. People will be like, you look like Alex Witt. Are you guys related?
Alex Witt.
And I see it. We do. We look a lot alike. And now that my face is a little bit wider than it used to be, and now I get a lot of Meghan Trainor.
I can see Alex Witt for sure.
Yeah.
It's not doppelganger status, but you could be related.
Did you remember when we got on the bus on the way to the Grand Canyon and the bus driver made the announcement that the actress from what's that stupid show?
Big Bang Theory.
The bus driver was like, the actress from Big Bang Theory is on this bus. And I'm like, no, I'm not her. I swear I'm not her.
She was the one whose girlfriend was she? Because it's not the lead character. It's the blonde girlfriend. I've never seen an episode of that show. Is it Melissa? She played Bernadette.
Yeah, Melissa Rauch.
She's very pretty.
Oh, well, thank you. I used to look like her.
So let's get into doppelgangers. First of all, we're going to talk about the real life ones.
Okay.
So there's a professor of genetics at King's College London named Tim Spector.
Hmm.
And he's been looking into this. And oddly, Tim Spector looks so much like my old radio agent, John. I was like, oh my God, like they're doppelgangers. So he believes that everyone in the world has one dead ringer.
Just one?
Just one.
Okay.
And he got into studying this after this photo went viral of two men on a plane. They're both ginger and they both have a beard.
Hmm.
And they were total strangers who met on a plane. And they have the same eyes, the same smile. They're the same weight. The faces are like nearly identical.
Yeah.
And this went super viral. I have it linked in the show notes. And he saw that and he was like, okay, I am in a position to study this. So let's look into it.
Huh.
So just like the filmmakers on the Matrix movies, he has six cameras that will take pictures of you all at the same time.
I can't think of anything more horrifying and terrifying. I would never want six angles of my face.
No, no, never. It gets worse.
I have one good angle. That's it.
My right.
Yeah.
And that's it. Anything else, I look real bad.
And I have to tilt my head just a little bit.
Oh, you know it. Get the light hitting those cheeks the right way.
Yeah.
So he has a six camera setup. It takes simultaneous shots of both doppelgangers, right? So you'll have like a bunch of doppelgangers come in together and they take 3D images of both of their faces and then they put them into a computer and the computer is able to say like, your noses are 69% exactly the same or your eyes are, you know, 90% the same.
Yeah.
And for a lot of his subjects, their features matched 80 to 90%.
That's a lot.
And once it's so much. And once you get into the 90% range, it becomes indistinguishable from identical twins.
So it's almost like some doppelgangers could look more like each other than actual identical twins.
Yes, completely. Absolutely. And the crazy thing is that he also tested their DNA, and often the DNA had no overlap.
What?
Not even in terms of parts of the world they came from.
I was expecting you to say that he looked at their DNA and discovered they were almost identical.
Absolutely not. So there was one couple, it was like these two men, their DNA was actually... the parts of the world their DNA came from were almost identical. So they were mostly like European, white European, and then, you know, all of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But there were these two women where one of them, her DNA was mostly from Italy, and the other one was from like, she was like indigenous American plus like somewhere in the Middle East plus like all of these completely, completely different ethnic roots that all combined to create a very similar look.
Pangea, we were all just one big block of land at one point in time.
We're all just walking around having sex with everybody. It was a real 1960s before the 60s were the 60s.
That's like when you climb the steps to the Cliffs of Moher in Ireland, you look down and you see imprints in the stone of Caribbean shells. That's because Ireland used to be where like Jamaica is before everything broke apart.
That's so crazy.
I know, right? I think about that more than I should. And I don't know why that resonates with me so heavily.
I just picture you flossing your teeth and you're like, huh. Pangea.
I do. You know what? Maybe I need to like write a book report about Pangea for this podcast or something.
You need to just get it out. There's something in you that needs to get out into the world.
Yeah.
So these two men who I talked about, whose ethnic roots were almost identical, they're a very specific case. So their names are John and Neil, and they discovered each other after Neil moved into the village that John had been living in for his whole married life, for like 50 years.
What, a village in America?
In England.
Oh, in England. Okay, thank you.
So, but there were more crazy similarities to the point where, you know, you find like identical twins who've been separated at birth and there are so many similarities in their lives.
Yes.
this happened, but these two men are not related. So they look almost identical. Also, both were engaged 2 weeks after meeting their future wives.
Huh.
So they both got engaged like way quicker than you should.
Yeah.
They've both been married for 50 years.
What?
They're both poets, and they both have a son who plays the didgeridoo.
What? Wait. I feel like at this point, they're just like, what can we find that we have in common? And then one person is lying just to make it seem.
Absolutely.
Like, and then they call up their son. They're like, son, quickly pull up YouTube and learn how to play the didgeridoo.
I need you to do something. Don't ruin this for me. I finally found a friend. All right. But how do we judge doppelgangers? Because that's where this really comes in. It's one thing to say, oh, you guys look like each other. You're both blonde. And right now you're both wearing a pink shirt. I see doppelganger.
Yeah.
But actually, doppelgangers have a lot more to do with how our brains specifically process faces and less to do with the actual specific features of the faces of the people who look like each other, okay?
Okay, so you have facial blindness, famously.
Yeah.
You could never really, in real life, spot a doppelganger because
I'm not great at it.
Your perception of faces is a little bit different.
Yeah, so I was watching this YouTube video, and again, all my sources are linked in the show notes.
Yeah.
They were talking about this one woman who was looking for her doppelganger. So she posted a picture of herself on Twitter and they found her doppelganger and they posted the woman's picture and they're side by side. And like it blew up. BuzzFeed did an article on it and the audience was pretty split. 50% of people were saying, oh my God, no, this is the photo of the same person twice, right? Like they look so much alike. And then the other 50% was saying, these women don't look anything like each other.
What?
And I was like, these women are identical. This is the same woman. But they're saying that people who do not see the doppelganger similarity are better at picking out key parts of faces than those of us who are like, yeah, that's the same person for sure. So here's what's actually happening in our brains. And here's why we see people as doppelgangers when they may not actually look very much alike.
Okay.
So when we look at something, let's say you look at a plant.
Yes.
Your brain is comparing the thing you're looking at to a stored mental picture of a plant that you have in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's like, those are similar, okay, that thing is plant.
Yeah.
And there are special cells in our brains that are only active when we're looking at faces.
Hmm.
So there's this awesome YouTube channel called Be Smart, and they did a video on this. And I'm going to literally quote this video because it explains it better than I ever could. And I don't want to fuck this up.
Wait, what a great name for a video channel. I feel like this is something I need to keep on in the background when I'm working.
Yeah, Be Smart. So here's the thing. In areas of the brain that recognize faces, says this video from Be Smart, we think that certain neurons fire for eyes that are this far apart, right? There are other neurons that fire for a mouth that is, you know, a certain width and or a nose that is a certain length.
Okay.
And this combination of nerves firing together creates a map of this specific face, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a code called facial schema. So to our brains, a face isn't a picture. A face is a pattern. A face is eye width plus nose length plus nose width plus placement of eyes on overall head plus where the mouth is and how wide the mouth is compared to the cheeks, right? It's all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So if one of these patterns of a face we already have in our head shows up somewhere unexpected, we see a face even if a face is not there. And that is why something called pareidolia happens, which we've talked about before.
Yeah.
Where you look at an electrical outlet and you see two eyes and a mouth. Right?
I love it when that happens.
Or why we see a cloud and we're like, there's a face in the cloud. Or we see the Virgin Mary on a piece of toast.
Or like there's some tree bark and you're like, oh my God, that tree is looking at me.
Yeah, completely. That tree's looking at me wrong. Look away.
Redirect your gaze, you dang tree.
I hate it when trees look at me. That's why I don't go in nature. So while your doppelganger's mouth may not be exactly the same mouth as yours, often what is actually happening is that the facial geometry that we're used to is almost identical.
Huh.
So one of the examples they used is, do you remember when Ariana Grande's video for Thank You Next came out and she recreated Mean Girls?
Yes.
So the actress who played the Lindsay Lohan character looked so much like Lindsay Lohan, even though their mouths are different, their noses are different, their eyes are the same color, but their eyes are different.
Yeah.
However, if you line up the actress's headshot over Lindsay Lohan's headshot, the facial map is almost identical. Their eyes land in the same spot of the head.
Oh.
The mouth is the same width and falls on the same part of the face. The nose may be a different shape, but it's the same length and falls on the same part of the face.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And like, as we get to know people, you know, you know your family members' faces better than you know your local barista's face.
Yeah.
Even though you'd recognize both of them in a crowd.
Yeah.
The more you get to know someone's face, the better our brains are at creating that mental map of what their face looks like, which is why you may be more likely to be shocked when you see a doppelganger of that person, because your brain is able to pick out, I know that facial geometry super well.
I see.
And you're like, holy shit, that's a doppelganger.
Yes. Your brain just wants to make a connection,
completely.
But it's making a connection to a face map, a geometry of a face that you're already familiar with.
Yeah. And when we don't know a face very well, we're more likely to key in on sort of generic things like hair color, bangs. You have brown eyes. You have brown eyes and glasses. Well, this character on TV has brown eyes and glasses. You are the same person. You're doppelgangers. Well, maybe that's not the case.
Okay, I see.
Okay. And doppelgangers are never identical matches, but they don't have to be, because our memories are so easily fooled.
Huh.
Like, you can say you remember something and someone else remembers the same thing and it's completely different.
Yeah.
So because it's so easy for us to mess up, it doesn't matter if a doppelganger is super similar or not. Like, we're totally going to remember it as a doppelganger, and it makes it fun.
It does. I love playing the doppelganger game. I love it.
Yeah. It's super good. And I can't wait till the Doppelganger app comes back. It's called Doppel. But it's down right now. I wonder if it's because of privacy issues, because it scours social media for people who look like you. And I feel like maybe that's a problem.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, they're really cracking down in Europe where they're like, you can't have access to all of these people's photos. Like, the game is over.
I know. It's a real bummer, because I really wanted to find my doppelganger. Okay, so coming up next, we're going to talk about the creepy side of doppelgangers. Oh, Kathleen, I am so excited.
Oh, why?
Because you are about to embark on a journey that I have already been on. I'm going to take you by the hand and I'm going to lead you onto this journey. And that journey is with Magic Mind. Now, I know yours is still coming in the mail. Let me tell you what you're going to experience.
Oh, I'm going to have to sit by the mailbox and wait for the postman to show up today.
So I know you're like me, Kathleen, and that you hit in the middle of the morning, you hit a bit of a slump.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this used to be when I would take naps, but it turns out taking multiple naps a day is not conducive to living an adult life. So that is why I love Magic Mind. Magic Mind is the world's first productivity shot. So it's this little shot, comes in these great little tiny bottles, and it can replace your coffee or allow you to drink less coffee, because you have too much coffee, you get the jitters.
Mm-hmm.
And that pains me to say, because you know I love my coffee. But it reduces your need for additional caffeine, because it extends the benefits of caffeine, right?
Yeah.
Less caffeine is able to do more because of Magic Mind.
I am so excited to try this out, because like multiple times a day I hit that slump.
Yeah.
And it's probably because my body needs vitamins and things that I'm not giving it. So Magic Mind has things like matcha and adaptogens and immunity elixirs, like vitamin C and vitamin D and echinacea. And that is a lot better than the usual cookie that I'll reach for when I'm hitting my slump.
And a lot of people say that caffeine and coffee specifically ups their anxiety levels. Mm. And that's why Magic Mind is awesome too, because Magic Mind helps you get more done, but it contains a compound called L-theanine that actually reduces your body's stress levels naturally. So it's allowing you to stay focused, especially during those slumpy parts of your day, but you're not sacrificing your sanity to do it.
And coffee too, just sometimes gives me bad breath.
Yeah, Kathleen, I'm really excited for you to try it because it's something I've had for a long time and really, really enjoy it. And we're excited because you, gentle listener, can try it as well. So if you're like me, I totally recommend you go check them out at magicmind.co/taste and join a community of go-getters. You can also use our discount code TASTE20, that's TASTE20, to get up to 56% off your first subscription or 20% off your first one-time purchase. But the 56% off code only lasts for 10 days, so hurry up.
Hurry up, 10 days. That seems like a long time, but I've been putting lots of stuff off for more than 10 days.
Again, go to magicmind.co/taste and then use the code TASTE20 to get up to 56% off your subscription for the next 10 days or 20% off your one-time purchase of Magic Mind.
Let's all be go-getters together.
All right, Kathleen, let's talk about some scary doppelgangers.
Okay.
Because if you love spooky stuff,
yeah,
you know that doppelgangers are not a good sign.
Yeah, because there's the good twin and the evil twin and that whole thing.
Yeah, you know, and if you like classic Star Trek, you know that like evil twins have goatees.
Yes.
You know, you can't trust anyone with a goatee. So in fiction and mythology, and this is like straight from Wikipedia, a doppelganger is often portrayed as like a ghost or a paranormal vision or phenomenon.
Yeah.
And usually it's seen as a harbinger of bad luck.
Mm.
So there's also times where I'm saying this like it's all true. Like, okay, so we're just going to talk about this like it's totally true.
You know what? It is totally true, Bethany. It's good to be curious about things like that.
Totally.
Because should we ever find ourselves in a post-apocalyptic version of the already post-apocalyptic world that we live in?
Yeah, a worse version of bad?
Yeah, we'll be prepared when our evil doppelganger shows up at our doorstep.
Yeah, and they better be on our side. You know, at this point, like, we have to really choose. If the enemy of my enemy is my friend, my evil doppelganger better be on my side so we can fight whoever we're fighting. And then we can infight again when the big threat is gone. Okay. So sometimes a doppelganger cannot be seen by the person they look like, but instead other people see the doppelganger and they're like, hey, Ted, I saw you, you know, at my favorite restaurant, 7-Eleven. And Ted's like, I've been here the whole time.
What? You've been there the whole time? No, I saw you.
The whole time.
I saw you at 7-Eleven getting a cherry Slurpee.
What? What?
But I don't even like cherry Slurpees.
That's impossible. I saw you drink it.
It happens all the time and is always real.
Yeah, it is.
So here's some just creepy stories about doppelgangers. Let's just sit back and relax.
Oh, okay. I'm going to let my shoulders fall.
Yeah.
I'm going to let my belly pooch out.
Yeah, pooch it out. Just let it pooch. If your cat comes over and makes biscuits directly on your tummy, you're doing it right.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So a very real person who claims to have seen their own doppelganger is Goethe.
Goethe.
And I am only going to say his name one more time because you can't say his name without sounding like an asshole. So Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. Who is a famous German writer and poet. Most people know him for writing Faust.
Oh.
So one day, he was super depressed, like authors are.
Mm.
And he was riding his horse on a footpath home from a booty call. A lady friend named Frederica. Suddenly, he said, he faced a mysterious person riding toward him.
Mm.
Now, I keep having to say his name but, you know, I'm going to call him Wolfgang.
You should call him Johann.
Okay, I'll call him Johann. Okay. So Johann said he didn't actually see this person in front of him. He saw them with his mind's eye. But he said that this person was clearly him, even though he, the doppelganger version, was wearing different clothes.
But he saw him with his mind's eye.
Yeah, like he imagined it, but saw it enough that it shook him.
Okay.
Right. I don't get it.
Yeah.
So anyway, the figure soon disappears and Johann's like, oh, that was cool. All right, I'll forget all about it. Smash cut 8 years later. He finds himself riding down the same footpath, but now he's going in the opposite direction towards Frederica, right? Last time he was coming home from Frederica when this happened.
Yeah.
Now he's going towards Frederica. He realized he was wearing the same exact clothes that his doppelganger had worn years ago.
You know, maybe that footpath is a time traveling capsule footpath or something like that. It's haunted for sure.
For sure.
I mean, anytime anyone uses the word footpath, I just
haunted
is an adjective that automatically pops up in my head.
It's not curbed and guttered. Clearly, it's haunted.
Footpath. I took the footpath to my neighbor's house and we dined on caviar.
So a few years ago, my New Year's resolution was to refer to all parties as fets. And I've done that.
Yeah. And then I kind of adopted that. I totally stole that from you.
Yeah. And then the next year I said I was no longer going to pronounce weekend properly. And I stuck by that. Now I say weekend. Moving forward, I'm no longer going to use the term sidewalk. I'm going to say footpath.
I'm wholly down for this.
Okay.
Not that you need me to be wholly down for anything that you do.
I'm glad I have your support. Also, one more off topic.
Yeah.
Very early in my radio career, I interviewed Robert Pattinson when he was first doing Twilight.
Love that man.
And, you know, he's British. Mm-hmm. He has an accent. Mm-hmm. And so I asked him, sometimes actors have like a phrase that they will say that gets them into the accent they need to use. Uh-huh. Like it's like a, you know, whatever. Whatever. I asked him, what was your phrase to get into an American accent? And he said, sidewalk and candy.
Oh, that's so funny. Whenever I'm trying to speak in a British accent, I always go, hello, first. To get my
which is perfect.
I just go, hello, okay, perfect. Now I can talk British.
Now I can talk British. Okay. So this is from Redditor, QuiteVoice4846.
Okay.
This person said, late at night, I usually go to the bathroom multiple times, but for the past 4 days, every time I go to leave, I can see myself still standing in the mirror from the corner of my eye.
What?
This is my nightmare. It's like the other me is watching me leave the bathroom. It terrifies me to the point where I almost run out without looking directly at the mirror. I never told my husband about it because I didn't want to acknowledge it out loud. Well, earlier today, I took a nap in our bed while he sat in the chair next to it watching TV.
Okay, that's strange.
It is weird.
You're going to take a nap in the bed and your husband's sitting at your bedside watching TV, but you're not terminally ill. You're just napping.
I wonder if they live like in a studio apartment.
Oh, that would, you know, that would make more sense. But if I was trying to nap and Neil was like, I'm going to just sit in this chair next to you, I would be like, absolutely not. Get out of the room.
I don't know. Sometimes it's comforting to have people kind of living around you.
I mean, if you want that, take a nap on the couch. I feel like that's more acceptable.
Maybe they're one of those people that don't have TVs in the living room.
That is strange.
And I bet they bring it up at parties a lot, too, where they're like, actually, we don't have a TV in the living room.
I don't get it.
We don't have a TV at all.
I don't trust people who don't have TVs, hands down.
What do you do? Talk to each other?
My cousin Sarah married this guy who was like, I don't know, I don't really watch TVs. And then I'm like, how about movies? No, I don't watch those either. I'm like, what do you do with your free time?
Are you an asshole about it, or are you at least cool about it?
For a long time, I was like, Sarah's marrying the wrong guy. He turned out to be lovely, and I like him a lot, but I was really on the fence about him for a while.
Be honest, do you still have reservations?
No, I don't. You know why I don't have reservations? Because
what?
His cover band played at their wedding and they covered only 90s songs. And it was the most fun wedding that I've ever been to. And I was like, okay
fair.
Josh, I'm cool with you now.
He probably spends all his time rehearsing, which is great. Yeah. Okay, so resetting. She's asleep. I'm assuming it's a she. She's asleep. Her husband's next to her watching, I don't know, The Office. So she's sleeping. She said, when I woke up, he told me that he had seen me sit up and crawl backwards to the edge of the bed and stand up in front of our bedroom door from the corner of his eye. She freaking backwards crab walked off the bed and then stood in the corner, Paranormal Activity style.
Absolutely not.
Now, her husband seems to be a real dud because he said that he thought it was weird.
I mean, yeah.
Because she's pregnant, and how can she be so limber in the 8th month of her pregnancy?
Oh, that is something to ponder, huh?
But also, how frightening. And he's like, I don't know, it seems weird. So then he tried to talk to her, she says. And when she didn't answer, he looked at the door to find her not there and still sleeping in bed.
how big is this bedroom that they live in where she is not in his peripheral at all times?
I know. So I go from thinking they maybe are in a studio apartment to maybe thinking they live in a mansion.
But even still, in a mansion, rooms are typically square.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see.
Huh.
How could this work?
Maybe it's one of those rooms. I've always dreamed of a room like this where there's an ensuite bathroom that's like down the hallway instead of like connected right to the bedroom. And then there's an ensuite sitting room, part of the primary suite. I don't know.
Maybe, you know, like at Macy's.
Yeah.
Where you go in and, well, back in the day when Macy's was nice and like you go in and they had like a sitting room where you could nurse your baby and just hang out.
Yeah.
And then they had another bathroom off of that.
Gotcha. Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. This Redditor, I'm not really believing any of their story.
Yeah. I would like a floor plan along with this, please, with arrows. All right. This is from the Redditor Geobite.
Mm.
This person says, I remember. Now, this is a bit of a long in, but buckle up.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I question this family. I remember one Sunday morning, my brother and I were watching Cardcaptor Sakura on TV.
Huh?
And someone knocked at the door. We lived in an apartment that was empty. The owner hadn't rented the second floor. It was a two-bedroom apartment with a kitchen and a bathroom by the door. See, now I like this person. They're giving me some layout.
It's really, truly best for context when you're telling a story.
Yeah, you got to. So they said, this is a small apartment, but with a big window that faces out to the door. So I heard someone knock. I checked the window. I saw my father. I was running to the door to open it. When I was going to unlock the door, my mother pulls me away and screams at me to not open the door because I didn't know who it was.
Hmm.
All right, this mom seems a little high strung, and maybe don't scream at your kid.
Yeah.
When, you know, I just feel like mom flipped out real easy.
And,
but again, I'm not a parent.
And also, when there's stranger danger and someone's outside the door, don't you want to be like, hey, don't open the door.
Hey, be quiet. Quiet about it.
Yeah, be quiet. Stranger danger.
Like when my introverted dad's best friend came to his house unannounced to wish him a happy birthday, so my dad hid.
What? That is so weird. Who does that?
It's my favorite thing about my dad.
Who does? Who shows up at the house?
This is a best friend. Best friend of like 40 years.
Oh my God.
And anyway.
Your dad was like, I don't want guests right now.
I don't want to see people right now. It's my birthday. It's the only day I have to meet. All right. So this person says, okay, I didn't know. She said, I didn't know who it was. I said, no, it's dad. She freaked out again. She goes to the window. She checks. And then she checks the peephole. Now she freaks out even more. She said she's terrified. She said to go to the furthest room in the apartment and to not come out.
Hmm.
Run and hide.
Hmm. Okay.
That's when his mother went and woke up dad, who was asleep.
Oh, no.
Dad got up angry and confused. We told him what we saw. The man was still knocking on the front door. My dad screamed, who the hell is it? Because dad comes out fighting. Dad chooses violence.
Yeah, I think most dads do.
So the man outside doesn't answer. Dad says, I'm going to call the cops. There's no response. So dad is busy screaming at the doppelganger. They all saw that the doppelganger was just standing still in front of the door.
Oh, no.
So mom takes everyone back into the furthest room from the door while dad gets ready to open the door with a metal bat. Once he did, the man was gone. So then dad goes outside looking everywhere around the apartment. And here's the thing, Kathleen.
Yeah.
The apartment door was a heavy metal door. And everyone could always hear it when someone came in and out. But they didn't hear anything that morning. They saw nothing when dad opened the door. They heard no footsteps either. But both this person's brother, their mother, and them say that the man looked exactly like their father.
The doppelganger rose from the dead.
Yeah.
To say,
yeah, it did.
I'm here to reclaim my life.
Yeah, well, look, you took my life. I take it back.
You could do that to Portia de Grasse. You show up on her doorstep.
Like, you took my life. Now I take it back.
I'm here to reclaim my wife.
My wife and my life.
My wife and my life.
One more. For some reason, this one just really got to me.
Ooh, hit me with it.
This is from Redditor G4YF13R1.
Mm, you know what? Very smart because It's a hard Reddit name to remember. So if you go on there and write all sorts of controversial shit,
yeah,
no one's going to be like, oh, have you seen Apple 123 writing shit on that board?
Let me in, 1234. This person says, when I was 9, I stayed home, quote, sick from school. I distinctly remember that I wasn't actually sick, simply playing hooky to avoid bullying because kids are cruel.
Sad.
Which I did a lot around that age. I awoke from a nap, turned on the TV in our living room, and I scrolled through some channels when my, quote, mother suddenly leaned over the bar, I'm guessing like the staircase bar, and stared at me without saying anything. So mom just leans over the railing and looks at you.
Oh my God.
This person says, I'd been awake for a few minutes at this point, so I can't rightly blame sleep paralysis for all of this. Now, whatever this thing was, it was entirely identical to my actual mother. It sounds weird to describe, but it's as if the only difference was that this thing pretending to be my mom had never felt a single emotion in its life.
Dead behind the eyes.
Dead behind the eyes. They said it was unsettling. This is the part, Kathleen, that got to me.
Yeah.
The person says, it beckoned me.
Ugh.
And I attempted to talk to her as I would my mother. She kept beckoning, refused to answer, and that's when I sensed something horribly wrong. Now, in my head, Kathleen, I picture this woman leaning over the railing and then like frantically waving for this person to come to her.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, for some reason, is so upsetting.
Bethany, this makes a lot of sense. In the place where you live, your evil doppelganger lives there also in the upside down, you know, like in a different realm. But your lives mirror each other. And that's why in your home, your family will see different versions of you, but it's not really you.
Sure. Yeah. That, look, absolutely. I believe that.
I mean, my childhood cats died 10 years ago, 10 plus years ago. And when I'm in my mom's house, I still see them out of the corner of my eye.
Oh, babies.
I do. And, and you know, it's very, to me, it's sad walking into a home where a cat isn't there to greet you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you.
But I see them sometimes out of the corner of my eye and I go, oh, wait, it's the ghost of my childhood cat.
Oh, babies.
Yeah.
Aww. So that is doppelgangers. They're creepy. They're scary, they're harbingers of bad things happening, and they're definitely all real. So Kathleen, normally in segment 5 now, we talk about like one of the 3 things that one of us said at the top of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
But quickly first, I do want to talk about off the air, we came up with a segment that we can never do.
No, we can never do. But you know what? Maybe we can do it if we spin it in the right way.
This segment was going to be called Let's Violate HIPAA, which is like telling secrets we know about people's medical histories.
Yeah.
Or like going into someone else's medicine cabinet and reading what they have. Like, gentle listeners, call us and violate HIPAA. But of course, that's not okay.
I actually, you know, it's funny. This is a really weird coincidence, but this morning I needed some headache medication. And so I went into my husband's desk because I know he keeps a big stash in there.
Yeah.
And I opened up the cabinet and his desk and I saw a prescription that I didn't recognize. And I, you know what? I was rushing to meet up with you on Zoom to record this episode today. But I made a mental note to myself to go back and take my phone with me and Google what the medicine was. It started with an F. That's all I remember. And it was Take One Daily.
Fluoxetine, maybe?
Which to me is like, oh, are you on something daily that I don't know about?
Let's do a quick Goog.
Like, do you think that if you live with someone or you're married to someone, do you think that you're obligated to tell them all of the medications that you're on?
This is interesting because I've thought of this before.
Huh.
I come down on the side of no.
Yeah.
Because as someone who is kept alive by science, I feel like everyone has a right to their own bodily privacy. Now, if I was on a debate team and I had to debate the opposite,
yeah,
I would say, what happens if you pass out? I need to be able to tell the EMTs what meds you're on.
Oh, you make a good point.
But if I'm on a debate team and I'm debating the other side of that,
yeah,
I'm going to say my body, my business. What do you think?
Neil knows everything that I'm on. And until today, I thought I knew everything he was on. And you know, the medicine in his cabinet may just be a fancy prescription name for something like heartburn medication.
Totally.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And now that I'm thinking more closely about it, I'm not secretive about mental health. I mean, neither you nor I have ever been secretive about mental health.
No.
Kept alive by science.
Yeah, kept alive by science.
And Neil knows all of those things. And I like him to know all of those things because when I fall short as a human, I want him to know that, like, I'm trying, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But if I were on something having to do with my weight, mm-hmm. I think I would be less likely to be more forthcoming.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I mean, I would tell him eventually, but if I went and got blood results and they were like, your cholesterol and your blood pressure are off the charts, I would be more sensitive about that. And maybe it would take me a couple of days to actually tell him.
Okay. Yeah, I think when it comes to mental health, it's important to let the person you live with know.
Yeah.
For kind of that reason, where if something starts to go askance, it's good for them to know. Like, I very publicly have said in the past, I am going to at some point have a very public meltdown. And the reason that I'm so open about my mental health partly is to set the stage for that inevitability. So everyone sort of knows what's going on.
Mm.
And my New Year's resolution was hotter and more crazy because screw it. And I'm about to have a meeting with my psychiatrist this week to change my meds. So we might be getting to the more crazy, because sometimes you get these weird side effects and it takes kind of a long time to settle into a new mental health med.
Yes.
So buckle up, Kathleen and taste buds, because it might get real wonky for a while.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, me too.
This is amazing. Oh, speaking of violating HIPAA and mental health.
Hell yeah.
I had a friend the other day who was like, you know, I'm just feeling like all of this anxiety and I can't shake it. And I was like, oh, can I tell you about this thing that changed my life when I went on it a few years ago called Lexapro? And to destigmatize Lexapro to this friend who's never been on any mental health medications before, I started naming all the people in my life that I know who are on Lexapro.
But that is such a HIPAA violation. But you know what? We are not medical providers. So we don't, we're not beholden to HIPAA.
No. I was like, well, you know, so-and-so, Danny and Carly and Tina and Joe. And the person was like, really?
Yeah.
I had no idea everybody was so fucked up.
Hell yeah. For a long time, we were going to come out with jackets.
That's right.
Like club member jackets. My friends from college were in town and he was saying how he hadn't really realized he had depression until he learned some of the, like, the less common symptoms.
Yeah.
Like just kind of, he wasn't sad, but like he just had lost the joy in life and he realized, oh, I lost my joy.
Yeah.
He was like, so my doctor put me on, you know, a medication. I said, was it Lexapro? And he's like, yeah. And I gave him a huge high five. I was like, welcome to the club.
Yeah.
There's a lot of us.
Yeah.
There's so many of us.
Lexapro. What was our jacket going to say? It was like,
something like, I get the sads.
I get the sads. Lexapro for people who just need help.
I know. And so I am like, I've been on Lexapro for over a decade.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes your brain changes and you need help
in
a different way. But no, going back to your question, I think that if you not being on that medication affects the other people in your life, then I think they should know about it, right?
Yeah.
So like if you're on birth control, but your partner wants to conceive, well, you should probably talk to them about that or, you know, mental health stuff, that kind of thing. But if it's, you know, if I don't know, if it's a medication that is just sort of I don't even know what that medication would be, but I feel like if it's not the other person's business, it's not the other person's business.
Yeah, but I probably would have to tell Neil if I were on high cholesterol medication, because he'd be like, let's get cheeseburgers.
Yeah, I know. I know.
And I'd be like, well, I can't.
Yeah, I know. Even as I say that, I'm like, I can't think of what that medication would be, because everything sort of, you're on it for a reason.
Yeah.
But I
think I've changed my own mind having this conversation. I think you need to be clean with your life partner. I mean, roommates are totally different. But
yeah, screw your roommates.
With your life partner.
Yeah.
About what you're on.
Yeah, probably, I guess.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, well, you know what, Bethany? If you have to change off of Lexapro, it's like when you have to change shampoos or conditioners because that product isn't working for your hair anymore. It's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal. But, you know, more of our focused listeners, just keep your ears open to see if, like, things go off the rails a little bit in the future.
Oh, wait. I remembered what we were going to put on our jackets or our sweatshirts.
What?
I get by with a little help from my SSIDs. That's
Wait, is it SSIDs or is it SSRIs?
Oh, SSRIs.
SSRIs.
That's right. What's SSID?
Social Security Identification? I mean, also that, though. So that's not wrong either.
Bethany, what did you learn this week?
I relearned a lesson that I learned a while ago, which is we all have like super negative voices in our heads that are telling us we're awful in all sorts of different ways. And if you need to slap yourself in the face to sort of regain reality, give that voice a name.
Oh.
Make it different and separate from you.
Oh.
If you give it a name, it stops being your voice and it just becomes an intrusive thought, which is also bad, but at least it is not your own thought. So, like, let's say I name my negative voice, you know, Victoria. Then it's just like, shut up, Victoria. No one invited you here. When Victoria tells me I'm a failure and nothing's ever going to happen, shut up, Victoria. Like, go home. No one wants you here. Leave the party. You don't belong. And it's a little easier to separate it.
This plays into kind of what I was talking about in segment 4.
Yeah.
About just jumping off the high dive in Mexico. And half the battle is, and this comes with recovering from eating disorders too, half the battle is finding and identifying behavioral patterns.
Yeah.
And basically, you being able to identify Victoria is you identifying a behavioral pattern and telling that behavioral pattern to get lost.
Yeah. It's like, it's about separating from the thing. So, like, a lot of times in therapy, they'll tell you, instead of saying, I'm sad, saying, I'm feeling sadness or I'm feeling frustration.
I get it.
Instead of saying, I am frustrated, I am depressed. No, you are not that thing. You're feeling that thing.
How smart.
It's not who you are. It's why we're told, you know, don't call someone a homeless person. Call them, you know, someone who's experiencing homelessness. That's not their full identity, right?
Yeah.
They just are a person. It's the same thing. It's like adding a little separation. It just makes it a little bit less the voice of reason, because it's not. It's like this bitchy voice in your head.
Yeah.
Not you, who's telling you you're a failure and they just don't get to be at the party.
Oh, I love that. Gentle listeners, you know what? Call in, leave us a voicemail and tell us what the mean negative voice in your head says to you and what you're going to name them.
Yeah, totally. Give us the name. Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
I learned that there are no bears in England.
What?
There are no bears in England.
Where do they go?
Not on the continent where England is.
Man.
Or the Isle.
Poor England.
The Isle of England or
Man,
whatever.
I guess all of the bears got the memo before Pangea broke apart.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know.
England, if you live in England, call us and let us know. Are you sad? Are you feeling sadness because there's no bears?
Come to America.
Come here.
We have a plethora of bears here. So much so that there have been more Bigfoot reports in the past couple of weeks than there have been in a long time, because the bear population in America, in North America, is blooming.
Question.
Yeah.
And this is going out to taste buds as well, but I also want to hear your thoughts, Kathleen. Mm-hmm. I have a list in my phone of potential podcast topics.
Oh, I do the same thing.
And one of them is the interdimensional theory of Bigfoot. Is that something you're interested in, or is that a pass? Do we want to devote an entire episode to the interdimensional theory of Bigfoot?
You know,
or maybe not.
We could do that in segment four, which we typically leave for personal topics or pop culture. But I know, Bethany, you love Bigfoot.
Oh, I love Bigfoot.
And to me, Bigfoot is just like Harry and the Hendersons, and I don't think much about Bigfoot beyond that.
But what, Kathleen, if it was a parallel but alternate dimension and sometimes Bigfoot slips in?
Okay. Next episode, uh-huh, in segment four,
uh-huh,
I'm clearing the stage, Bethany, for you to talk about the multidimensional Bigfoot.
I'm going to pitch you on it. I'm going to pitch you. Okay. I'm going to give you a tease so that maybe in the future I can please and do a full two segments on the interdimensional theory. So next time I'm going to give you a pitch.
Okay.
For that being the main show topic. Okay.
And you know what? I can't snark you for having not great podcast topics on your podcast topic list, because at the top of my list is the history of the hoodie.
See, this is the thing. It's so nice that we've changed the format of the show, because we get every other week off from research,
uh-huh,
but it puts more pressure on the topic because it's the only topic.
Yeah.
So like, there's more, I can't do like, how scary is the thought of a shadow when I don't have you to support me with like an actually interesting topic, you know? My topic is like, remember that time that scary thing happened and we all heard about it? Not as good when it's the only topic. All right, Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
At Kathleen Loves Color on everything. How about you, Bethany?
I am Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram, Radio Bethany on Twitter. You can also find our show on social media. Just search an Acquired Taste podcast.
Yeah. By the time that you listen to this, we have a new logo on our website, which is really exciting. We gave Bethany some vampire fangs.
Hell yeah. To further illustrate how different we are.
And wherever you listen to this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. Helps us move up in the ranks. Helps us keep bringing you this podcast for free.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you can give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. 917-994-0353.
We also have an email address. That's hello@acquiredtastepodcast.com.
And a mailing address. An Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717 Hoboken, New Jersey 07030.
This podcast is edited by the wonderful and talented Dennis Callow, and you can follow him on social media at Dennis CAHLO.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
And Taste Buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hey, Kathleen and Bethany, this is Jenna from Pennsylvania, and I just listened to your episode where Bethany, you talked about how you have started meditating. This is coming from a longtime yoga and meditation teacher here, that you cannot be bad at meditation. It is impossible to be bad at meditation, so don't worry, you're doing it right. A lot of times people think like, oh, I'm so bad at meditation because I can't stop thinking or I can't turn my thoughts off, but your brain is literally made to do nothing but think. You can't not think, it's impossible. And so really the goal is that you just sit there and maybe you listen to something like your weird Celtic ladies, maybe you don't, but you just notice every time a thought comes, you're like, all right, I had a thought. And then you bring your attention back to something in the present. So Bethany, I like that you have like the vision of the orb. It could be something like maybe you're listening to like a sound of a river or something in the background, or it could be something physical, like you touch your thumb to each finger. Maybe you bring yourself back to that or your breath. But anyway, I just wanted to call and say, you're doing it right. You're not doing it wrong. You're not bad at it. And one more thing that I love to do, because while I'm not bad at meditation, I'm bad at keeping it on my schedule. You can do a 2-minute transitional meditation, which this is what I like. So all that means is that anytime you are between doing something, like for example, maybe when you get home from work, you just sit in your car in the quiet for a couple of minutes, set a 2-minute timer and just sit and do nothing but pay attention to the sounds around you or your breath just for 2 minutes when you're in between doing tasks in the day. And you'll be surprised at like how much more space it gives you in your brain throughout the day versus just rushing from thing to thing.
Hi, it's Andrea from Los Angeles, and this is going out to Kathleen. I just heard, oh my goodness, your trials and tribulations with your upstairs neighbor, and it just brought me back to when I was living in an apartment. It was a rental just above Sunset Boulevard, and when my girlfriend and I were looking to move in, we noticed some round items at the ceiling, but I had no clue as to what it was. I was in my 20s and had no experience of what the broom handle, top of a broom handle, would look like. Well, apparently that should have been a warning, because the guy upstairs, he had small children that were running constantly, waking us up at like 5 a.m. And then it got to the point where his wife and children left, and he started playing the same Wind in the Hill song over and over and over. And it was just such a drag to have to hear this through our ceiling. And the piece de resistance was I came home from a date, and there was a note on the door, and the manager apparently didn't have the key to my apartment. And he said that the downstairs neighbor was complaining because there was water leaking from my bathroom. So I go in my bathroom, and my whole bathroom ceiling had caved in and was now leaking down to the apartment below me. The guy turned on to create a bath, fell asleep, and the rest is history. So you just brought back all those memories for me, and I feel your pain. I really, really feel your pain.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Christy calling from New Hampshire. I just found out that Comcast, the TV provider, is opening up a horror theme park in Las Vegas. Even Jordan Peele is helping make all the scariest rides that you've ever encountered. So the first person I thought of was Bethany. So I just want to let you guys know, because that seems like a really fun place to go. Even though I know you don't like traveling, Bethany, but I was like, I don't know, that seems pretty cool. So anyway, I hope you guys have a great day, and I love you guys.